Hey there, everybody. It is November 14th, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. If you have any guest suggestions, if you have feedback, or you just want to say hi, of course, every email gets answered at ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter. We tweet every now and then. But, of course, it's all going down on Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. It is our last week of the Podcast Awards, so you can go to podcastawards.com and vote for This Show Is So Gay in the GLBT category. We kind of want to win. We can't promise you anything, but as I said last week, the folks who have already voted have reported that they found true love and they came into a lot of money, so I guarantee the same for you. Podcastawards.com, vote for This Show Is So Gay right there. We have a jam-packed show, of course, for this week. We must get started with our first guest. Soprano Patricia Racette is one of the greatest singing actresses of our time. She continues to appear regularly in the most acclaimed opera houses of the world, including the Metropolitan Opera, San Francisco Opera, Lyric Opera of Chicago, Houston Grand Opera, tons and tons more. She has gained notoriety for portrayals of the title roles in Madame Butterfly, Tosca, and all three leading soprano roles in Il Trittico. Internationally, she's appeared at the Royal Opera House, the English National Opera, Opera Nationale de Paris, a ton of others that I probably can't pronounce or would butcher as I just butchered those, I'm just saying. On the concert platform, she's appeared with many of the world's most prestigious orchestras. She's just been everywhere. Her honors include the Richard Tucker Award, the Marian Anderson Award, an Opera News Award, and of course, I would assume the greatest honor of all, her appearance right this very second on our show. Patricia, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be part of your show.
I was so excited to try some of the names, and I have to tell you, and I never usually admit this, at the very last second I abandoned some of them because I got nervous.
Of opera houses or roles?
Of opera houses.
You've done very well, though.
Although I did want to talk about the Dusseldorfer Philharmoniker.
Well done.
Was that good?
Yes.
Feeling very proud. Before we get to anything, I don't know if you heard about this, but I just learned you just got married.
Yes, yesterday.
That is so exciting. What do you want to tell us about what happened?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was just a jam-packed week. I had my HD broadcast of Tosca from the Met on Saturday, and then we had, I guess, what could be called our bachelorette party.
Nice.
That evening with some friends that came in, and then we had our ceremony yesterday, which, because it's obviously, it's finally legally recognized, so after our 16 and a half year engagement, we finally got married.
Lovely. We have a whole Beth Clayton segment to this week's show, so we should save it for that, but we enjoy that Beth Clayton.
Oh, Beth Clayton, as I said, you know, I have married very well.
Nice.
I'm definitely the lucky one in this couple.
I suspect she has as well, but we'll get to that later, because you don't even know. We have a whole game to play with you that Beth provided all these answers. It's very exciting.
Oh, how exciting.
I know. All right, we'll get to that. I was also going to congratulate you, in addition to Tosca, which people were writing and saying, I just saw her on the screen. What a couple weeks/month you have had playing so many roles.
Oh, goodness. It has been a year as like no other. It really has. And, you know, I'm very happy for all the opportunities I've had. It's been really fun. You know, but as my father said, well, you did it to yourself. You know, I mean, thanks, Dad. But it's been really exciting, and it's been interesting and challenging, and you know, I'd be lying to say I'm not sort of relishing the idea of a little time off, but, you know, it's been doing projects that are just intensely interesting.
Yes.
For me.
Dolores Claiborne, which, as I learned it, I think you learned the role that morning before you went on?
I mean, pretty much. It was a superhuman feat, and I'm still really kind of recovering from it, you know, so it's like, it was just really to cram such a difficult piece in such a short amount of time. Granted, I do. I love a serious challenge, but that one definitely did test the limits. And ultimately, I'm glad I did it. But it was, you know, enough already.
One reviewer said, the instant transformation of a glamorous opera star, that's you, into the frumpy, downtrodden, abused housekeeper trying desperately to save her daughter from incest is a theatrical coup Patricia faultlessly and marvelously sings through the opera's two-hour length.
Well, that I love reviews like that.
Those are the only ones you get.
Yeah, well, not really. The Times is not really very generous to me on that front, but I like those reviews. In fact, maybe we can cut and paste.
Let's do it.
From now on.
Let's do it. Have you ever met the Times reviewer?
No, I don't think it would be a good idea, and that's all I can say about that.
Especially after playing Dolores Claiborne.
That's all I can say about that, exactly. Look, I'll push you into a well. Exactly.
I was going to say, I could see you digging out a manhole cover right there in Lincoln Center and beckoning them.
All the time.
Here, come get your beer, and then
exactly.
And then they fall. I have to say, I enjoy that movie immensely and am quite scared of Kathy Bates in that role.
Oh, she was masterful.
Yes.
And also, you know, I'm born and raised from New Hampshire, so that, I mean, and, you know, granted, it's a Maine accent, but she mastered that. That was fantastic. And I also just sort of the attitude of we New Englanders, in
right.
Especially small town, New England, it was saying it was accurate. It doesn't go far enough. I mean, she was astonishing in that.
And then the night before, you were in Mephistopheles.
Yes, I have several back-to-back performances, but, you know, so basically my life turned into sleeping, singing, eating, sleeping, singing, you know, so, you know, one has to accept that when you accept insane challenges like that.
You would think that Dolores Claiborne had drama, but then I read this, as the imprisoned Margarita, who has poisoned her mother and drowned her baby, born from her Faustian hour of love, she was crazed, her voice fragile, yet filled with life force.
Well, you know, you've got to love opera, right? All in a day's work.
I love it.
You know what I loved about the challenge is playing this young girl, and then the next scene she's a young girl that has lost, you know, her mind.
Right.
And, you know, obviously an extreme situation. And then the next night portraying, you know, a character like Dolores Claiborne, which is she's so complicated and there's so much to sink your teeth into dramatically. I mean, I really, as an artist, that's like one of my favorite aspects of the art form is the sort of the high I get from being able to transform into these people,
yeah.
Into these characters. So it was really, it was fun. You know, one night get my frump on, the next night, you know, innocent. And
I love it. I love it. Now, because it is, this show is so gay, do we not feel like there was a little something between Dolores and Vera?
Well, she called her a bitch so many times in this particular libretto. It was kind of a rough relationship, if you ask me.
Look, I'm not saying it was the healthiest lesbian relationship out there.
Well, I'll say I wouldn't want to model my marriage after.
No, please don't.
A relationship like that, but you know.
Please don't.
She did have that gorgeous red hair.
She did. And another gay moment for you, one of our champions of the LGBT community in the audience one night, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yes. I adore her. She's a fan of Tobias Picker's, and I'm happy to say a fan of mine. And really, she's always ever supportive and wonderfully effusive, and, you know, it's an honor to have her honor there.
Love it. I love it. Well, we got to go back, because we didn't even start with the basics. We jumped right in. You got married. We had all these operas. But we got to go back to New Hampshire. My understanding is that you were folksy guitar lady in New Hampshire starting out.
I was folksy guitar lady. I basically taught myself to play the guitar, and I used to write my little songs and sing. This is when I was a youngster. And then in high school, my choir director really, really, really loved jazz, so he sort of steered me in that direction. And, you know, now that I look back, all I really wanted to do was sing. But at the time, I thought, oh, this is definitely what I want to do. I want to sing jazz. And I went to a university, in fact, that was their claim to fame is their jazz program. So, you know, I happened into opera, so it was something, you know, that I was not at all exposed to in New Hampshire. I didn't even know what it was, really. So
they have it in New Hampshire. I just moved from New England.
North, I believe it's called, yes.
So tell me about that shining moment, that first aria when the lights went on and you just said, oh, I can do this.
Well, it was actually, the light was on. It was in my bedroom. I was on the floor in college. It was
okay.
Until my sophomore year in college. I was sitting on the floor and I was my teacher assigned me Senza Mamma, the aria from Suor Angelica, because she thought she could tell my temperament. She could really discern that, so she was trying to get me hooked. So she thought, let me have her look at this. So I was sitting on the floor, and I opened the score to Suor Angelica. I thought I'd give it a listen and a look, and it was like a lightning bolt. It was Renato Scotto's recording, and it was stunning and meaningful and so infused dramatically the way she did, like no other. I mean, and so it was just, that was a real, real important moment in my life, and that's when I thought, oh, I got to have me some of that.
Love it. Now, we have to ask the question that my students would shudder that I asked such a basic question, but I have to put it out there. How gay, if someone came to you and said, Patricia, how gay is the opera world? What would you say?
I'd say there are a lot of gay opera fans, but in terms of the performers, it's mostly straight, honestly. We're in the minority.
I can't say that I know of any other out lesbian opera stars.
There are even straight countertenors now.
Yeah, there are even straight countertenors.
Look at that.
Out lesbian opera stars. We did a count one time, and what did we come up with? Like 12? And you know, there were a couple on the list that aren't out, so I wouldn't dare say. But there are what are there, about 12? So there's not a lot of us.
So let's go the other route, which we have asked guests before, and I feel like you are going to finally have the definitive answer, because you said gay opera fans are quite plentiful. What is it about the gays and the opera?
Oh, it's because it's fabulous, Charlie. Fabulous, first of all. It's just an incredible art form, and you know, there's you know, one up must always be careful about, you know, categorizing people, but I think there's an appreciation for the fantastic aspects of this art form. It's just, it has everything. It, you know, it has virtuosic singing and playing, and has, I mean, artistic artwork sets. It has, you know, it just has everything. So I think the affinity for arts and beauty is something, you know, it's something for everyone, but come on, we gays got it going on.
We got it going. Although I would feel like a lout if I didn't put out there, as I've said on previous shows, I sometimes struggle with my opera appreciation, and I wish I were better at it.
Well, see, now that's a pressure we put on ourselves. I mean, it isn't for everyone, and frankly, I struggle with it sometimes as well. It's not, you know, not every piece, performance of, you know, or production of an opera is going to appeal to everyone. That's the beauty of it. That's the uniqueness of it. So, you know, if you feel like it's filled with effort, then that's not very enjoyable, is it?
Right.
You know, in all fairness, I mean, I think in our profession, I would like to see a bigger change in terms of how things are approached dramatically. That I wish, you know, opera, there would be more of a standard for the interpretive aspect for acting. You know, it's like, it's not enough to just stand there and sing anymore. I would like to see that come into the forefront with more, on a higher level, really. That's something I would, you know. Gone are the days of, you know, a 400-pound Mimi dying of consumption.
Right.
So that change has hit our art form for sure, but I think we still have a ways to go, and I would like to see that change. I would like it to be utterly unacceptable to just park and bark.
Yes.
As I call it.
I maintain that I started with the wrong opera, and that's what led me down a bad path.
What did you start with?
See, and this is a little bit dangerous ground right now, knowing who I'm talking to, but the first opera to which my partner took me was Madame Butterfly, and I really struggled with the whole, wait, is this all about the subjugation of a woman? And I struggled.
Well, you know what? That's fair. You know, as a person who obviously performed,
right?
But it's difficult. There is such an enormous amount of sexism in opera, which is, you know, with Tosca, what I love is she's a complex woman, and we get to see that. We also get to see her take her fate into her own hands. That is not typically the route that many a composer and librettist have chosen in the body of works presented. You know, my beloved Puccini, I love it, but it has to be said, most of the, you know, heroines are male identified, and everything is about that love that she has for a man. So I pride myself in trying to present as fleshed out and as complex and layered a portrayal of whoever that female is, so that it is a believable person. Because I think if you only take it on its initial primary level and its initial meaning, then it can be a bit it can be a bit actually not believable, in my opinion.
Right.
Look, I've known a lot of women through my life, and I have to say I've rarely met any as simple, uncomplicated as some of the opera characters that we see. So I completely sympathize and empathize with your assessment, you know, because that can get very, predictable, and it could also get very, really, really boring because it's not believable.
I promise you that I did my research, but I'm going to ask this nonetheless. Is there a great gay love story in opera that we should all know about?
Is there a great gay love story in opera that we should all know about?
Help us out, Beth.
Help us out, but I know you don't. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay.
That already exists, yeah. No, I don't, you know, in all fairness, being out and gay is a contemporary situation.
Right.
And, you know, most of these operas have been written hundreds of years ago. There was one written well over 10 years ago, but it was called Patience and Sarah, but I don't think it didn't have legs. Really.
Right.
So there isn't really. We don't get to see our stories on the opera stage very much. I mean, but look, how long ago was it when, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, you know, loses her gig because she comes out?
Right.
And, you know, we're from a culture that then later on had Will and Grace, where it's just, hey, we're like everyone else, you know? We're like everyone else.
We are.
I did an interview recently with this woman. I'll just leave the details of that.
Sure.
And she said, in a very thick accent, she said, basically, I've read this review for you, and it says in the headline, lesbian soprano Patricia Rosette, whatever. And I said, really? I have never seen that in the headline written about myself or anyone else. And I said, that's really interesting. I said, yes, I am a lesbian. Yes, I am soprano. Yes, I'm 5'5". Yes, I'm from New Hampshire. I said, there are many descriptives you can use for me. I said, I think there was a negative tinge to that headline. And I said, you know, that says more about the writer than the subject he's writing about.
Right.
And, you know, I get a question every once in a while, how do you portray these characters and these love situations if you're a lesbian? Well, it would be the same if I were straight, honestly.
I'm rolling my eyes.
I'm in love with the person up there. It's called acting. It's a theater craft, you know. It's just, it's these questions are inherently prejudiced, and people don't even realize it, you know?
I can't believe we're still asking that. I'm rolling my eyes. It's radio. You can't see me, folks, but I'm rolling my eyes that someone would actually approach you and say that. You actually said this in one interview. God, this is just a great quote, Patricia. You said, quote, I've actually had older gay people, come up to me and ask, why do you need to come out? Why do you have to advertise it? Just be who you are. But if someone asks a your great quote goes on. But if someone asks a heterosexual person if they're married, they don't say, I'd rather not talk about that. They simply say, yes, I'm tired of it being this extra issue. I'm also not going to be ashamed of something that's the best thing in my life.
Amen, sister.
That was you, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I really feel so strongly about that. I mean, what we put out into the universe, is we have to pay attention to that. And if we behave shameful, then we must feel shameful.
Right.
And that doesn't help move anything forward. And I feel so strongly about that. And it's true. Who says, so are you married? And if they're married and they're straight, you know, I'd rather not discuss my personal life.
Right.
I mean, who the hell says that? Oops, family show. Who the heck says that? Gosh darn it. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, now that Beth and I, you know, we've been calling one another wife, you know, for some time. But now that it's official, Beth, you know, today went to a luncheon honoring James Levine. And, you know, many, many people to meet. And we both introduced one another, and we used the W word. We said, this is my wife, Beth Clayton. You know what? It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good, and it does feel different. And honestly, I long for the day, and I think I'm going to be optimistic that it is coming, where it's a non-issue. It's not a conversation stopper. It's not even, you know, it's not even a bump in the road.
Right.
It's something, you know, where, you know, I mean, I've had it before. This was some years ago, and I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm a lesbian. I'm in a same-sex relationship. Oh, okay. And I'm like, well, I'm so thrilled to have your approval. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I'm telling you, after the Dolores Claiborne role, I just wouldn't cross you.
No, I know.
Let's be clear.
Say, I love playing angry on the stage.
Because let me tell you some of the things that I've read about you. I read that you threw a wig across a room once because you didn't like the wig.
Uh-huh. In a rather important opera house.
Look at
that. The wig was hideous. And I was supposed to be playing a attractive, beautiful woman, and I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror before going on stage. So I did throw it across the room. It's not my way. I'm not. I don't usually lose my temper, but there have been those occasions where it's, you know, it's warranted.
Okay, so there's that. Although I learned in a video with you actually speaking, you're quite mechanically inclined.
Yes, I am, and I like. I wish I had more time to devote to those, you know, do-it-yourself jobs.
Right.
You know, and maybe in my retirement I will in fact do that, because I have a great satisfaction when I'm able to, you know, fix something in the toilet or,
nice.
Or like there are photos of me on our roof in our new home because the birds were picking holes in the foam roof, and so I was up there. I called the roofer, said, "What would you do?" And I went out and bought it and did it myself. I love that. That is very much, you know, a part of who I am, someone who wants to fix it themselves.
Again, I saw the movie. If the birds cross you, you push them down the stairs. I know what's happening. I know what's happening. Well, we've arrived at the Beth Clayton portion of our show. Are you ready?
I am. Do I need to hand the phone? Or
no. You're totally fine. She gave me everything I needed to know. But we have to talk about the two of you, because
you are
both singers. You made just the most lovely It Gets Better video.
Thank you. We were surprised at how the response that we got that we received from that. We were very proud and honored to have been able to do that, in fact.
What prompted you guys to make that one?
Well, we were approached by someone at the Met about doing this, and I was actually there hosting one of the HD performances of Boris Godunov. So, you know, hair and makeup was already done. We just, you know, got Beth all spruced up, and we decided to, you know, add our comments to that ongoing subject.
Now, she wasn't in heels. She's just that tall, huh?
She's 6 feet.
Look at that.
And Beth does not shy away from that, I'll tell you.
I love it.
4-inch heel in any day. She does not mind towering. I quite like it.
I would hope so. I would hope so, given that whole you just got married thing. There you go. We actually had one of our listeners, we get folks writing in all the time just talking about things that they're encountering in their lives, and often in the middle of the country or just in very conservative areas. And one of our listeners just wrote in with a horrible tale of an incident where they were hospitalized and their partner couldn't visit them. And I was reading online that you guys had a similar experience.
Oh, yes. What was the hospital here? Mount Sinai. On the east side. It was right after 9/11, like 2 weeks after 9/11, and I had to go to the emergency room. I had what was later learned was just a peptic attack, but it basically makes you feel like you're having a heart attack. It's. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't put two syllables together. So of course, you know, we're scared. It's 2 a.m.
Right.
And the male nurse was so incredibly, unforgivably rude. At one point, Beth was just trying to answer the questions, like, what, you know. What's your name, blah, blah, blah. And he basically pointed to her and said, "You need to get out of here. You're not family, or I'm going to call the cops."
Wow.
Yeah, we were, I mean, obviously, if you're going to the emergency room, something's not going well.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the time for more compassion, not less. And he was just, it was just unforgivable, truly.
It's there in the name of the room, emergency.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so that was devastating. First of all, my Beth is a very proper Southern gal, so to actually say, you know, get out of here, I'm going to call the cops, that's, you know, that in and of itself
right.
is a very shocking thing. But, you know, to not have any idea, knowing what's happening to me.
Yeah.
And the sad part of the story is there were other people there. There were straight couples there, and they were allowed to stay.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowed to sit there at the bedside. When they finally let Beth in, when they finally, you know, got me a bed, and they said, "You can stay for about 5 minutes." I mean, it was just blatant, blatant, blatant.
Wow.
And it was, you know, I did end up having to have surgery some time ago, about 2 years ago, and it was serious enough where I had to have a hospital stay. And we were so scared by our initial experience years ago. We had our attorney draw up all the necessary papers to have her have access to me. Luckily, at Lenox Hill Hospital, we did not have to deal with any aspect of that. And she literally, I was in intensive care, she literally stayed the night.
Mm.
And so, you know, that was a bit, you know, vindicating, really. But it's scary, and I'm so glad that now, you know, it's an issue. I can follow it with another slightly sad story. We spent the month of July in Barcelona, where I was singing Butterfly, your favorite, and it was so great because, you know, Barcelona is such a liberal place, and it was a non-issue. It's exactly what I was talking about. It was a non-issue to be married, and this is my wife. There was no bump. There was no nothing. So we come back into our own country, and in the customs line, you know, it says, you know, the whole family can go up, or it's, you know, one person at a time. So we went up because we are a family.
Right.
And the guy was like, well, it's one at a time. I said, but we're married. I said, don't you recall New York has passed this law?
Yes.
Yeah, but we're federal. We're a federal institution. We don't recognize that. And actually, we were not on our toes at all because he was incorrect. DOMA had passed. It is federal. We are filing as married people our tax returns. So it is federal. He was incorrect. But that really, really, I can't tell you how much that stung. When we come back to our own country, and this is the first thing we confront.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but that TSA agent actually does moonlight with nursing shifts at Mount Sinai. It's true.
No, the nurse I'm talking to, this guy, he had a mullet. I would have recognized
him
anywhere.
All right. I was trying to localize all the angst in just one man.
Yeah, really. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Localize all the angst in one area. You know, look, we all have to fight the fight and keep, I'd like to think by positive example that we can make these changes. But boy, when you just get kicked in the guts like that, it's hard to tolerate.
Yeah. But as you both said, it gets better and gosh, so much more work to do. So much more work to do. Well, we're going to lighten the mood. We are going to play, and who knew how relevant this was going to be? We are going to play our version of the newlywed game here. We have asked Beth questions off the air. She has promised not to share those answers with you, and I'm feeling confident she didn't.
She didn't. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I love it.
Honey, you sneaky little thing.
She even said, I better delete this email because sometimes she checks. So this is good.
Oh, yeah, I totally check her.
This is good. So
very
we
mergy in that way.
We are good. Again, I saw the movie. I'm a little scared. We are going to ask you six questions that Beth has supplied the answers. If you get three right, you guys are winners, and you can win magnets. This show is so gay, magnets either for you or to give to fans, whatever you so desire.
Oh, you're not really aiming very high. I only have to get three right.
I just would like to say
I'm feeling a little underestimated here.
Well, I would like to say that perhaps some of her answers were I'm a little worried about.
Okay. All right. So you're just trying to help me out. That's very generous.
I'm here to help. People are very excited that you're on this week's episode, so I'm excited too. So I want you to win. I want you to win. And
okay.
No pressure,
right.
But we play this game with so many celebrity couples. No one's ever lost, so I'm feeling good for you.
No one's ever lost. Oh, now you've really put the pressure. Gosh. All right, I'm ready.
Even Vera believes in you. Here we go. All right, question number one. If you, Patricia, won the lottery, what did Beth say would be the first thing that you would buy?
If I won the lottery?
The first thing that Beth said you would buy.
The first thing I would buy? Honey.
Beth, look away.
Oh,
I'm not cheating.
She's not cheating. She's not telling me. Oh, man. What is the first thing I would buy? I mean,
this is why we're only going for three correct answers.
I know. No kidding. I would like to think we'd pay off our house. Our house.
And our apartment.
I don't know that I'm going to give that one to you. Her answer was almost the opposite. She said you would tear down the house, start over from scratch.
Oh.
No, wait. Just wait. And she said that you would build a tall fence around the entire property.
Well, now, wait a second. The question is misleading. That's not like what you would buy. It's what would you use the money for.
I'm going to give you a half point just because, again, a little scared of you. Okay.
Okay, they're very good. But honestly, not just a fence, but an electric one. Okay, go.
Took it to a whole different level, didn't you, Patricia? Nicely done. Nicely done.
All right, now you've got – I'm so nervous. Okay.
Question number two. I think you got this one, though. What would you, Patricia, say was your worst ever vacation?
The Amalfi Coast.
That is the correct answer. Very good.
Not because of the coast.
She said it was a crazy heat wave.
It was horrible. It was like, it was really, it was so unbelievably hot and humid. I felt faint.
Well, there you go. You got that one right. You got that one right. All right, we're doing well. We're doing well.
Oh.
Question number three, and I think you got this one too. Who would you say is the better driver of the two of you?
Oh. Well, of course, it's Beth that's the better driver, or so she thinks. Look, I'm really good at multitasking. I don't have to look at the road the whole time.
I don't care if it's an eclipse. I can see just fine.
Exactly. You look, you reference it. You look at it a couple times. You know where it's going. She's getting bogged down in the details. But, yes, Beth, definitely.
She answered specifically, she will say that I am because she knows that I will say that. That was great. That
exactly.
was great.
Exactly. But make no mistake, she drives no matter what seat she's in.
Love it. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Keep in mind, this game, although no one has ever lost, it has never broken up anyone either. So let's keep that intact.
That would never happen. She's a very, she's a lovely driver. It's always comfortable, you know.
Nice, nice.
Yes.
You get this next one right and you win. So here we go. Who would you say is Beth's celebrity crush? I will tell you, Beth had to look up the name. So if you just give me a general description, that'll be okay.
She had to look up the name?
See, I'm even
giving
you a hint.
Celebrity crush, like as in like movie star celebrity?
Celebrity, yes.
Because in my mind, I'm a celebrity, darling. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Other guests have actually provided that answer. She didn't.
Okay. Oh, no. Tell me there's another question after this.
You have two more after this.
Okay.
You have two more, so you're okay.
Best celebrity.
Is she looking away? Is she?
No, she's not. She won't. She's enjoying me seeing the struggle. I'm looking at it. I mean, it's not Catherine Zeta-Jones, is it?
That is not correct.
No.
Okay, the correct answer was Maria Doyle Kennedy, who played Catherine of Aragon on The Tudors.
Girlfriend. She calls her girlfriend. That's true. What the hell? How was I suppose I could have named the character. Oh.
That's okay. You have two more chances. Two more chances. You're okay. You're okay.
Okay.
I think you have a good shot at this next one.
Okay.
What is the one thing that you, Patricia, own that Beth wishes you would really throw away?
The one thing that I own that Beth wishes I would throw away.
Or she, it actually, I should do the correct phrasing. What's one thing that you own that she would like you to throw away? I feel she rags you on this one.
She's a very nice lady. She doesn't.
And I'll even give you a hint because this is the type of show we are. It is an article of clothing.
Well, I think she did throw those away.
What was it that she threw away?
Pajama pants. My brown ones.
You're so close. Go to the other end.
There's a top.
Yes.
My sleep shirts with holes in them. They're just tiny holes.
The correct answer was sleep shirts with holes in them. You have won our game.
You know, they're really small holes, and they're really, it's just the ventilation thing. You know, I don't see what the issue is. But she slowly does weed these things out, and suddenly I realize, you know, I have new things in there.
I love that you turned that into a mechanical answer, so that was great. There is one more question, which we will throw out at you just for fun, because this is...
You had to hint, give me a hint.
This is a fun one. This is a fun one. I'll give you a hint on this one, too. Which cartoon character would you say that Beth is most like?
Olive oil.
That is the correct answer.
You came up with that quickly?
Well, of course.
Have you talked about that? Because her answer didn't make it seem like you had ever discussed that.
No, we haven't, but Beth has these fabulous long legs, but they're skinny. They're very, very strong, but they're skinny legs, and you've discussed that you're like olive oil. Yeah, she has the dark hair, but that was an easy one. Oh, I can
look at you, Patricia and Beth. You have won our newlywed game.
I won, so I'm very excited.
This goes right up there with the honors right there on the website. Because most folks say, gosh, it's kind of a toss-up. Would I take a Richard Tucker award, or would I like to win the newlywed game on this show? It's so gay.
Oh, not a toss-up at all. Of course I want to win the newlywed game.
Please tell everyone, Patricia, where they can go to learn more about all the amazing things that you're doing.
You can go to my website, which is patriciarissette.com, and there's usually my posted schedule. Granted, I can only post the schedule for the year that has been announced by various opera companies. So
so you can go to patriciarossette.com and find out the what and where. Tell us, Ken, what have we won?
You won magnets. We're sending you this show with So Gay magnets, and I'm going to send you a special something as well.
How exciting.
It's very exciting. It's
very,
very exciting.
Excited.
Well,
I'm
excited for you. Look, your voice is obviously just out of this world, but as we talk about, as we've been talking about on this show for 6 years, you also use your voice in that incredible way where you are saying who you are talking about the amazing Beth Clayton, you are living your life openly, you are challenging the notion, which I can't believe people still have, but we know they do, that you can be an artist and your sexual orientation can be folded into that and you can transcend all of that on the stage. Just what an incredible way that you use your voice, Patricia.
Well, thank you so much. I consider that to be a supreme compliment. My opinion is, if you're an artist, you need to be honest about who you are and how you are in order to be an effective artist. I really do believe that. And as I've said, and you've quoted, you know, why should I hide and lie about the best thing in my life? Anyone would be lucky to have half of the kind of relationship that Beth and I have.
Yeah.
It's something to be celebrated.
Patricia and Beth, what an absolute treat.
Thank you. What fun. So what are we going to do next week?
You're going to rest. You're going to rest.
I am. I'm going to rest.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we welcome back to the show Kirsten Ott Palladino, the founder and editor-in-chief of Equally Wed, the world's leading wedding and honeymoon magazine and digital resource for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, and allied couples, offering a modern, elegant, and unique guide to gay wedding planning, from ring shopping and proposing to tying the knot and living happily ever after and everything in between. Kirsten, welcome back. Back to the show is So Gay.
Thank you, Ken. I'm so glad to be here.
I don't like this part where we don't speak to you for a year and a half. This keeps happening.
I know. What's up with that?
I don't know. You're so busy. You're so busy because it's like there's so much marriage news out there, which I would imagine affects the work that you do.
It's insane. Yes, we're so excited to be so busy covering marriage equality news. There are headlines ripping through every website and news outlet daily about what's going on in, you know, the Senate and the House, and lawsuits being filed by very brave gay and lesbian couples. It's very exciting, and yes, it keeps us very busy.
Do you offer any guides to those couples who get married on the courtroom steps?
Oh, we do. You know, we have a How to Get Married section in states where it's legally recognized. So especially for people who are traveling to those states from other states where they don't offer that.
Right.
And then we have a guide to finding vendors in cities, either your own city or a city that you're traveling to for that city hall wedding. Because even if you're just going to hire one vendor, you want to get a photographer there to capture all that goodness and love.
Absolutely.
So we help along the way.
Absolutely. Well, let me take you back. Let me take you back to March of 2010, and you wrote a blog post right around the launch of Equally Wed, and you wrote about your engagement and how you were in Georgia, and was that going to stop you because marriage equality has not yet happened there? And you wrote no, but you wrote this, quote, "But what did make my heart stop when Maria and I set out on this adventure of setting the date, choosing our venue, and hiring our team of vendors was that there wasn't a wedding magazine where we could see ourselves in the articles and the photos, as well as search for gay and lesbian-friendly wedding vendors. In short, we saw a gaping hole in our media-rich nation, and the motivational seed for Equally Wed was born." We're more than 3 years later, we're 3.5 years later, and you know, so many publications start and stop. You guys are going so strong. Did you see yourself where you are now?
You know, I hoped that we would still be here. So, yes. You know, I did not know what type of interest we were going to have. I couldn't have predicted whether or not we were going to have 100 couples coming to the site or the 60,000 visitors we have every month. I could not have predicted that, but I hoped that people would be able to find us. So it is exciting that we are able to continue to provide the information and inspiration for different couples around the globe. It's exciting. But as far as predicting it, I think it's just more that I hoped.
We like it. We like it. We're going to talk about hope in a sec. You also wrote in that blog post, we traveled to every honeymoon destination to vet it for its gay friendliness and fabulousness, which brings me to my question. Do you need help vetting those places?
Yes. Ken, do you want to go on a travel assignment?
So badly.
Where do you want to go?
Where do you want to send me? Although I don't want to go to like one of those the folks who are like, oh yeah, for our honeymoon, we want to do an Alaskan adventure. I don't want to check those places out.
No. You want to go somewhere warm?
Please.
Great. Well, there are definitely some Caribbean islands we have not checked out. There are a few that we will not check out.
Tell me.
Jamaica, very scary for gays and lesbians.
Yeah.
There are laws against homosexuals entering the country in Belize, so we're not going to send any of our journalists there. But there are definitely some island nations that we could that we do still want to travel to and check out for Equally Wed. We do, of course, allow for journalists of all sexual orientations to write for most of our sections on Equally Wed, but our travel and honeymoons is strictly written by gay and lesbian and transgender and queer writers because of that, because they we need to really be able to experience first thing how our people are going to be treated there.
Yeah. And should you want to turn this into, oh, we're not comfortable sending Ken by himself, we should probably set him up with someone, I'm open to that. I'm open, Kirsten.
Good. Great. Absolutely. I would love to play matchmaker for you.
Well, you mentioned that keyword hope, and you have a wonderful, wonderful blog post about how you guys over there at Equally Wed are collecting data, and I love when we collect data and do surveys.
Good.
And you wrote, one of the questions we ask is, what do you find useful, entertaining, wonderful on Equally Wed? And one reader wrote a word that made me emotional, hope. And you are a fellow Pisces like me, Kirsten, so I understand our place in this emotional world. But why did that word get to you?
It really resonated with me because it's so funny that we're here in 2013, going in 2014, and there are so many people in our community that if they haven't come across our site or other media outlets, because more are covering gay and lesbian weddings now, thank goodness, but they don't see themselves in the picture, so therefore they don't see the opportunity for them to be able to have the wedding of their dreams. And that might sound silly to some, maybe single people might sound silly, but when you are in a committed relationship and you want to show the world, the fact that, you know, it's being displayed and you're seeing other couples doing what you want to do, it does provide hope.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me emotional that we're doing our jobs right.
There you go. It's a Pisces thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
It really is.
Well, we must get into some content because we rely on you for all types of advice. We start with one of my favorite questions. Give us some unique gift ideas. We love new gift ideas because, as I told you before, I am not a huge fan of giving cash. It's not my thing.
Oh, no, I don't like it either. Of course I love having cash. But
totally.
But I don't even like getting it from relatives. It's just like, oh, you couldn't have taken 5 minutes to go to Target?
Right.
You know, so, one of my most favorite discoveries as of late, and I just covered on Equally Wed, Crate and Barrel has come out with some wonderful gifts for gays and lesbians, specifically these adorable $12.95 ring dishes that have Mr. and Mr. inscribed on it, or Mrs. and Mrs.
Love it.
It's so cute. And so I think that's a great thing to give for someone either at an engagement party, a bridal shower, a wedding shower, or, you know, as a wedding gift or as part of the wedding gift. I also think that it's kind of a creative way to propose to someone, you know, giving them that first and then getting the guests and going. See, for bigger gifts, I am, you know, I cannot stop thinking about the Cuisinart mixer.
Oh.
I don't even have one. But I think that's the best wedding gift in the world if you're a baker.
Yeah. I get nervous that it's difficult to clean, and that's why I don't get one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I will. I bet it just all goes, comes apart and goes in the dishwasher.
All right.
But I'm a big fan of sticking to the registry unless you can come up with some really cool experience gifts.
Nice.
This one lesbian couple that wrote to us, a sister-in-law maybe, gave them a wonderful gift for an entire year. There were date nights written out for instructions for once a month, every Saturday, or one Saturday a month, you will do this activity. And then every month, the giver sends a little package to the couple for their activity. And maybe it's a recipe, and so then they have to go to the grocery store, and they have to get all of these items, and they're going to make this together. And
I love it.
Yeah, so it's just, it's mindful spending time together. I love it.
That's like my gift, though, because I never buy off the registry because I always wait till the last minute because I forget. And then it's like, oh, okay, I got you the whisks. And I just never feel that good about it. But I always give, and maybe this is because most of my friends are in New York City, I always give them that gift certificate that you can use at all of the New York City restaurants. And should they need a babysitting gift certificate, I write something in crayon that says that I will provide a night of babysitting.
Oh, that's so awesome. And, you know, you can't get enough babysitting. I have twin toddlers myself, and babysitters are scarce sometimes. So
they are. Wonderful. You have twin toddlers. Is it a coincidence that there is a new section on Equally Wed on parenting and family?
Thank you. No, it's it definitely it goes with my life, and so we thought that it was only fitting. About a year ago, we launched a separate site called Equally Family, but we haven't had the time to devote to growing it like we wanted to, so we decided to fold it back into Equally Wed, because in our community, oftentimes children come before the wedding. Sometimes it happens simultaneously.
Right.
You know, things are just not in the order always that they are in the straight world. So so we thought we'd just add it right here.
Nice.
Because it is part of marriage and living.
And what can folks expect to find there in the parenting and family section?
Well, as we pull content over from Equally Family, we're in the process. They'll be able to find ideas and information and legal resources for adopting, inseminating, finding a sperm donor, as well as focusing on real families across the country who have gone this journey before you and have some inspiration and advice to follow along the way, as well as just some funny stories, you know, because raising kids is, it can be pretty funny.
You're having some funny experiences there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. yeah, so I have 2.5-year-old twins. They're both boys, and one, Rocco, he's in this phase of just telling me what I can't do, as if I'm the child, like, no, you can't tell me no, or no, mommy, you can't move that, or no, mommy. It's fascinating. He's just trying to have some made control of his life, and I totally get it and respect it, and that's what we're working on.
2.5 years ago, when you were first on our show, you were pregnant.
I was. I had 2 basketballs in my belly when I talked to you the first time.
I love it. Tell us about some cool proposals that you've heard about. Any cool new proposals, things that you're like, oh, that was a good idea?
Yeah, well, right now we're just experiencing, we're in the midst of this craze of everybody videoing their proposals and putting them on YouTube, and I love it. I think it's a lot of pressure on people that don't want to do it, perhaps, but also flash mob proposals, that is the biggest thing that we are seeing continuously, and it's intimidating, but it's amazing what people can come up with. The latest thing that we put on Equally Wed were these 2 guys, one guy proposing to another who enlisted like 90 dancers from a college in New York.
Wow.
So it takes a lot of preparation. But I'm a big fan of, you know, proposing over dinner, and you've got family in the restaurant, but you didn't know they were there, and then all of a sudden everybody that you love is around you while you're watching your loved one ask you to spend the rest of your life with him or her.
I love it. Now, with weddings, and I don't, maybe you have to keep this vague because I don't want you to out anybody, but we want some fun stuff too. Are there any weddings that people have sent you where your initial reaction was, oh, okay, probably not what I would have done?
Oh, let's see. There's nothing that I thought, like, that I think that I've been the most surprised in the last month, but I thought it was amazing. We have really yet to get a two-groom wedding where one of the men or both are wearing a dress. We haven't gotten that. But what we have gotten in the last month, and it's on our homepage right now, are two gentlemen that got married in Atlanta, and one of them had a train sewn into his coat, into his tuxedo jacket.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's long, and it's white with some lavender satin, and it's just extraordinary, and I just love it because he owned that church when he walked up the aisle with his dad, and it was, I cried. It was so moving.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's talk about invitations. It's one of my other favorite things to talk about because this is a perennial question. Do we invite people to our gay wedding who we think might not be supportive?
Well, the answer on etiquette side, and we just interviewed Emily Post's great-great-granddaughter about this, is yes. You want to plan out your wedding in the most hospitable and friendly way and to give them more time to adjust to the idea that you are marrying somebody of the same gender. If they are incredibly mean-spirited in general, then personally, etiquette aside, I say no. Don't do it. Don't put yourself out there in order for your feelings to be crushed. You don't always have to be the bigger person. This is
right.
About you and your beloved and anyone that doesn't like you or support you, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. And this is a good thing about engagement parties. It can be a little bit of a trial run.
Absolutely. You're so right, Ken.
Now, who throws? I saw this question. Someone asked you this on the site. Who is supposed to be throwing our engagement parties?
Well, it can be anyone, but usually it's most helpful if one or more of your friends can get together and do it because there's so much pressure on the parents to help out in other regards. So for the engagement party, we're seeing mostly for the LGBT community that it is friends or the couple themselves because gifts are not expected at the engagement party. They should not be expected. So for the couple to throw their own engagement party is completely acceptable.
Wait, what? I wasn't supposed to be getting gifts for the engagement party?
Well, you don't have to.
Okay, this is a revelation, and quite frankly, I need to dial my time back a few weeks to when I agonized over getting a gift for an engagement party. I don't think people know that, Kirsten.
Yeah, engagement parties and actually weddings, people do, the brides and the grooms and the brooms are our phrase for butch brides. They, there are many and most do hope that they'll get wedding gifts at the wedding, but in ancient history up till now, but Mindy Weiss, celebrity wedding planner, says the gifts are not a requirement at the wedding or engagement parties, only at showers, and so that you can shower the couple with gifts and that's it.
I mean, it's radio so people can't see. My mouth is on the floor right now. I'm still on the engagement party. I thought it was a thing. I agonized over. I didn't know how. I was going to ask you, how much are we supposed to spend on engagement party gifts?
Technically nothing.
Look at that. All right.
Now I'm sure the couples are shaking their fists at me right now, but that's
also that your vendors are shaking their fists at you.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's just the way it goes. You're just there to celebrate, in the merriment of what is to come.
In shock. I'm truly in shock.
We'll also maybe mention, too, for as far as engagement parties go, you never but want to invite anyone to your engagement party that's not also invited to the wedding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hope people aren't doing that.
Yeah, I know.
But that would be bad.
People throw engagement parties long before they get their guest list ready, and that's a no-no.
Let's go to the other end for a second, because I had this experience last year, not with me, but with two friends. Talk to me about the etiquette, because it happens. It happens. Talk to me about the etiquette in calling off a wedding.
Yes. Well, you want to do it as soon as possible when you know that you're not going to go through with it, for sure. The first thing that you want to do is let your guests know.
Well, wait. Let me stop you right there. How would you let them know?
Well, it depends on your guest count, but I would recommend either personal phone calls, emails, or letters. But you really want to get in touch with people, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Don't rely on Facebook or social media. Let your guests know before you go to the social media channels, for sure. And then, after you've canceled it in that regard, then you want to go next to your vendors, because even though vendor contracts usually stipulate that you might not get your deposit back, if you approach it in a really sad way, not necessarily an angry way, you owe me my money back, if you give yourself enough time, you may even be able to recoup all your money.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, is it tacky, I'm just saying karma-wise, that the gift that I got for that wedding that was called off, by the way, a week before the wedding, it was going to be my first, I keep wanting to have you on the show and say to you, hey, I just went to a gay wedding. I still haven't been to one. I was going to my first one, and then they canceled it a week before. I can repurpose that gift, right? Or is karma-wise that really bad?
Oh, absolutely. And I hope they did return it to you.
No, I didn't. I was going to bring it with me, so it's still sitting right in front of me.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Oh, yeah, of course you can hand it out to anyone this Christmas. You can send it to me.
All right.
Or, for Hanukkah. Absolutely. Yeah, if it's, might want to take the wedding paper off of it and put it on some other wrapping paper, but you can use it for whatever you want.
And they still make whiteout. I can get rid of the names, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Great. Should be fine. We should be fine. Well, tell us, what content are you looking forward to coming up on Equally Wed?
Oh, gosh, let's see. Well, we are, as our site continues just to grow in traffic, we continue to get just outrageous amounts of real wedding submissions. So me and my small team, we're doing our best to keep up with it. So I just can't wait to share more and more love stories.
Great.
On Equally Wed, that's what we're most known for, and it's the most exciting thing to me, because it just, honestly, it makes me cry in happiness, seeing these wonderful images of people and their supportive families. And it makes me honestly want to get married all the time, plan a wedding every year. So that's the biggest thing that we are looking forward to sharing.
Love it. And tell everyone where they can go to bask in all the love.
We're at equallywed.com.
Easy enough. Well, as I told you, I'm going to let you close the show, which I don't often do. So the key words for you, Kirsten, that you will know when they happen, but the key words for you are so gay. Okay, so hold on to those for a second.
Okay.
So, folks, get out there. Go do some incredible things. Our thanks, of course, to Patricia Reset. What a pleasure having her on. Kirsten from Equally Wed Magazine, please go check out their site. It is, as I said at the top of the show, the last week of the Podcast Awards. So go to podcastawards.com, and right there in the GLBT category, vote for This Show Is So Gay, because we would, we kind of want to win. We're competitive like that. But also because there's some great shows on there, so you should check out them too. Just, vote for us. Get out there, go do some incredible things, use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. And of course, while you're doing it, while you're voting, while you're getting married, everything, remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't